Okay. Hi, Senior High. How are you guys? Good? You guys good? Well, my name is Pastor Michelle, if you guys don't know who I am. Pastor Richard, who is usually the really cute guy that's up here preaching, that's my husband. And we get the privilege of being the youth pastors here at the Rock Youth. And we've grown up in youth, and I've actually grown up in church. And so God is just doing something great in this church and with you. And tonight we're in week three of our back to school boot camp. Is it weird that we have a back to school theme in July? Is anyone else weirded out by that? Because I am. Because when I was in high school, which was a long time ago, and all of my other ancient youth workers can testify, we used to start school at the normal time, which is September. Can I get an amen, youth workers? Yeah. Oh, thanks, Mel. Okay, but we are getting you guys ready for school. Has everybody gone back to school shopping yet? Yes? No? Have you registered for school? How many days till you start school? 2 weeks. That's just an ungodly date. Okay, well, that's why, and I'm dressed like this, not because I used to be in any type of military force. They would never let me on the military. I would cry the first day, like literally, I'm such a baby. But I will preach the gospel for Jesus Christ and join his army. Okay, but let's go ahead and pray, because I need God, obviously. You guys need God. So let's go ahead and pray before we get into the word. Heavenly Father, I thank you for tonight, that we get to open up your word, that you are going to change us. God, thank you for already doing what you've done now, Father. Over 25 salvations, an amazing encounter with you, some crazy inflatable balloon popping dealy, God. I mean, we just get to have fun in church and feel your anointing, God. So continue, Lord God, to bless this service. And Lord, we also pray for the other youth ministries that are across the globe that are talking about Jesus, that Lord God, are preaching your name and preaching your gospel. Lord, we also pray that you would bless them just like you bless us. And everybody said, amen. Okay. Well, tonight, mine is going to be a little bit different. I know Pastor Richard has been equipping you guys to, you know, go out and preach the gospel and do that stuff. And I'm going to equip you also to say something. But first, I need to welcome up my friend and your friend, Jesus Christ. Come on up here, Jesus. Jesus. He will accept your praises. But then I also have someone I've invited. I'm not completely happy that he's here, but I'm not scared of him either. I want to hear a big boo for Satan himself. Loser. Jesus like that. Jesus like that. Okay. So on this stage, I have Jesus. That's right. And I have Satan. Stakes. Stakes. Here's the deal. Invited them both up here. Because I want you to know that you are going to be confronted with choices all year long, if they haven't started already, about will you follow Jesus or will you follow the enemy, which is Satan. And we all say, boo, boo, boo. But we forget that the devil will use that really fine girl who never talked to you before, and all of a sudden she's naked in your bedroom. And you're like, there's no way that she's the devil. She can't be the devil. And all of a sudden, you done lose your salvation. Okay? I mean, we all forget that, right? But see, the devil, I don't always agree with what you do, but sometimes you're a little sneaky. Okay? And he will use things that we don't realize we've even accepted his attack or accepted his offer or accepted his temptation until, like, it's over and we're like, ooh, I don't think I'm saved anymore. Dang, okay? And we just, like, totally lose it and we forget it. And what I wanted to show you tonight is that when you say yes to Jesus, you say no to the devil, okay? Which is like, yeah. But did you know that when you say yes to the devil and to the world and to the things that he's in control over, you say no to Jesus? See, we don't realize that. We think that we can be one big happy family. Jesus and Satan family photo. Yay! Okay? It's not how it works. You cannot have a great big hunky-dory time because these two don't like each other. One of them has already defeated the other, but this guy is still waiting for the end of time so that he can just go to hell and stay in hell where he came from, okay? And what we forget is that when we accept a temptation of maybe a lukewarm life, maybe we say, well, what's exactly wrong with partying on the weekends and then going to church later on? Because so what if I say, yeah, let's get a kegger going on, all right? And then I say, yes, I want to sit in the front row with Jesus. We've just decided to try and say yes to two things. But when you say yes to the devil, you say no to Jesus. And tonight I want you to realize that you can say no. And I know that sounds cheesy, but you can say no to the devil. You don't have to accept his offers. You don't have to accept his little schemes. You don't have to accept his little fiery darts that he tries to shoot at you. But you need to learn how to say no. In fact, I want you to say no right now. Say no. Yell it at the devil and say no. Just say no. All right, thank you guys. You guys can have a seat. We will have a, if there's any ex-gang members, we will have an official beatdown. Right back there with the devil. Totally joking. Do not beat up Lolliday. Because that is Lolliday. Do not beat her up. Okay. But my point is that you need to learn how to say no. Because you have before, you know that when you hit puberty, you guys are like, oh, Pastor Michelle, why you got to talk like that? You sound like my mom. I don't care. I am your pastor mommy. Okay. But when you hit puberty, your hormones go up like 600%. So the fact that you really like a guy or you really like a girl is not weird or wrong or ungodly. What you do with those feelings, that's where you can determine whether you're saying yes to the devil or, you know, yes to Jesus Christ. Who are you going to follow? What choices are you going to follow? And I want to show you in Joshua 24:15, and we should have it up on the overheads for you. But it says this. And if it seems evil for you to serve the Lord, Joshua is talking to God's people, and he's basically drawing a line in the sand. And today, there's a line being drawn in the sand because you're going to go back to school, and all hell may break loose. All hell that maybe you don't even realize is hell. We know when it's hell, when it feels like everyone's against us, when everybody's mad at us, when they do want to beat us up, when they do, you know, want to jump us after school, whatever it is. I mean, we know that that's hell. But do we recognize that it's hell when maybe you are just token back a little bit sometimes on the weekends? Hey, it's natural. They're going to make it legalized or whatever. Whatever your excuse is. So what? My parents don't care if I drink. So what? My parents don't care if I sleep with my boyfriend or girlfriend. Well, who says that your parents are God? How about you follow what God says instead of what everybody else is telling you to do? Because I understand that there are a lot of amazing parents in this room, your guys' parents, but there are also some parents who don't go to church. There are also some parents who don't serve God. And so you've got to realize that you can't follow what everybody else says, but you have to choose for yourself to serve God. It says, and if it seems evil for you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. It's your choice. You have set before you to serve Jesus or to serve the world. What are you going to do? Are you going to say yes to Jesus and no to Satan? Because you can't say yes to both. And there's going to be times when you want to, but you have to remember, it's your choice who you're going to serve. I want to show you a verse in Mark 10:46. Mark is in the New Testament. It's a part of the gospel. So flip your Bibles open to Mark 10:46. Let me hear you guys say no one more time. Good job. Just say no. Now let me hear you say yes to Jesus. There we go. That's good. Okay. Jesus is going about healing and doing amazing things. And it says, now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great multitude blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. So here is a beggar. He was blind. Okay, he's been blind for a long time. They know about him. He's a beggar. And then it says, and when they heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy upon me. So when he saw a chance for hope, he went ahead and he cried out for Jesus. And it said, many warned him to be quiet, but he cried all the more, son of David, have mercy upon me. See, people are telling him, shh, just be quiet. And he said, no, I need a touch from God. I need God to move in my life. And so he knew that Jesus was near him, and he wanted Jesus to heal him. So it says, so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, rise up, he's calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Now that's a really important statement. You say it is? That throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Do you know what? How many people, you've seen people begging for money on the side of the road. And there's a lot lately because of the recession. In fact, almost every off-ramp I get off on, there's somebody who's asking for money. And sometimes you don't know in your heart if you should give something to them, right? You're like, okay, I know I love Jesus, so I want to give something to them. But what if they go use it on alcohol? What if they go use it on drugs? I mean, I don't know where their life is. Some people have some crazy stories, and they might be real. I remember one time I was over here on hospitality, like, I don't know, 5 years ago. And this guy had this whole story about he rode on a bus from San Diego, came to San Diego, knew Pastor Jim and Deborah from they had a church up in the mountains. I mean, this whole entire story, right? He just is trying to get some money to go see his sister, right? Literally 5 years later, the same guy with the same story, still trying to go see his sister. I'm like, man, boy, you haven't raised some money for a bus trip yet. Okay, I mean, it's just amazing. You don't know. That's a true story. You don't know what people are doing with your money. Okay, but back in the days, if you were going to be a beggar, you actually had to go to the city and get approval to beg. You had to legitimately prove that you had no way of getting any type of income. And what they would do is they would give you a certain garment that proved that you've been approved to be a beggar, because there is no way that you could ever earn any money. Kind of crazy, huh? So when Jesus called blind Bartimaeus, he gave up that lifestyle before he even got healed. He dropped that garment. He said, I have enough faith in Jesus Christ that I don't even need to worry about still being a beggar, because I know when he touches me, I'm going to be healed and I won't need this garment anymore. I'm going to be able to work for myself and I'm going to be able to live a normal life. And he had that faith inside of him. He said yes to Jesus and no to his old lifestyle. See, too many of us are still holding on to our lifestyle and trying to talk to Jesus about it. Now, Jesus, I need to know that when I give my life to you, that you're going to make everything better. I need you to tell me all this. And instead of just throwing it and saying no to the devil, we try to hold on to it as a plan B. You see, you need to choose now who you're going to serve. Drop that old lifestyle. Don't even think about, I know some of you are thinking about, man, if this God thing doesn't work out, I still have my old friends that I can hang out with. I got Susie and Bobby, and I know they sit at the lunch table that's way over in the corner underneath the big oak tree or whatever it is. And we start to have this plan B. And I'm telling you tonight, you need to say no to that plan B and say yes to Jesus Christ. You cannot go into the battlefield, into the world, and think that you can be a soldier for Jesus Christ and make it with a lukewarm attitude that says, I'm going to try to be one big happy family, me, Jesus, and Satan all together, because I don't have enough guts to say yes to Jesus and no to the devil. And that's really what's going on. I know I'm getting tough, but I don't know how else to preach. That is all. Okay, so I'm going to give you 4 points tonight that are going to help you out with this. Number one, and this is really simple, these are very simple points, is you need to say yes to God and no to the world. You say, Pastor Michelle, have you been saying that for like 10 minutes? Yeah, I'm going to say it one more time. Because if you leave with anything tonight, it needs to be this, that you are going to say yes to God. You see, everybody thinks, well, church is all about, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do blah, blah, blah. Well, you know what? You can say yes to God. And you can say yes to the kingdom of heaven being opened in your life. And you can say yes to healing and prosperity and salvation for your family and hope for your future and a good marriage and having a good life. Because if you think that that's in the world, then you've got it all mixed up. The world, you do not want what the world is offering. You want what God is offering. Say yes to God's world, to God's life. In 1 John 5:18, go ahead and turn with me. We are going to hang out in 1 John for a little bit. Are you guys doing okay? You sure? You guys awake? Do I have to preach more so I lose my breath? Okay. John 5:18. It says this. It says, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who keeps himself has been born of God, keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God and that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Just get a picture of that. We know that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. You want to know why bad things happen? It's under the sway of the wicked one. If you allow him to run your life and you don't say no to him, then get ready to be his little puppet, to be under the sway of his world and his way of doing things. But when you say yes to Jesus, you come under the authority of God, the one who conquered death, sin, and hell. It's your choice. It's your call. So it goes on, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us the understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. There's going to be temptations where you feel like you can't handle this God thing anymore, and you're going to be tempted to be under the sway of the wicked one. But you've got to remember what is true. God's given you that understanding to walk in truth, to be under Jesus Christ. Number two, it says this. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, let me give you one more verse. In 1 John 2:15. And when Pastor Michelle preaches, I love the Bible. I don't know. I just do. So I give you a lot of verses, and good verses are good for you. It says in 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. You cannot be so in love with the world and the things of the world, you're going to lose your relationship with God. I remember a girl one time who was in youth. I used to take her home. I used to drive her home. And she was so upset about a verse like this. She said, it just bugs me. Why can't I just have both? Why do I have to reject the world? And it bugged her so much that she's no longer in church anymore. You see, you start to continue with those thoughts, then I guarantee you, you're going to be somebody who we're talking about. Remember so-and-so? Remember so-and-so? I don't know. They used to sit on the front row. They don't sit there anymore. You've got to say no to the world and yes to Jesus Christ. Which brings me to number two, is that you need to say yes to love and no to hate. Because what I'm not telling you to do is I'm not telling you to hate unsaved people. I'm telling you to say no to the world, which is under the sway of the devil. Okay? But I'm not saying to hate unsaved people. In fact, we need to love them. Because there's a difference between me rejecting the world and the way that it operates than me rejecting a person. I don't hate people. I don't hate sinners. I shouldn't even be surprised when people sin. What do cows do? They give. What do chickens do? They give. And what do sinners do? They sin. Okay? So we shouldn't be like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe what was just on Gossip Girl. Okay, I mean, those people aren't saved that write those scripts. Those people aren't saved that are, you know, that are on the reality TV shows. It's amazing, these reality TV shows. The things that they will do on camera, I'm like, I would never even speak up. Okay? I mean, people have no concept. But I'm not rejecting those people. In fact, God has called us to do the exact opposite, and is to love the people who are caught up in the world. And loving them is not maybe the way that you're used to. I'm not talking about kissy kind of love. It's a love that's sharing Jesus with them. It's a love that's praying for them. It's a love that's showing kindness. It's a love that's encouraging to them. That's the love I'm talking about. Jesus told us to do it in Mark 12:30. He said, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Jesus has asked us to do two commandments, to love the Lord and to love people. Simple as that. I was watching Channel 4 the other day, and this lady comes on, you know, she's a famous actress, and she says, the saying is to love your neighbor, not to love, to hate your neighbor if they're not like you or something like that. I don't know. I said, girlfriend, it's not a saying. It is a Bible verse. It is the word of the Lord. It's in red letter. Okay. All right. But, you know, I started yelling at my TV. I don't know if anybody else yells at their TV, but I do. All right. And so, first of all, she's putting words in my mouth. Do you ever get in an argument with somebody and say, do not put words in my mouth. Okay. That's what I felt like with this lady. All right. And I said, I never said I didn't love somebody because they weren't the same as me. Maybe they don't believe what I believe. Maybe they don't think the way I think. Maybe they do things that I think is bad for them. It does not change the way that I love that person. But I do not approve of what they're doing, because there's a difference between love and approval. I will love them all the way until Jesus comes back. And if they never change, I will continue to love them. But I do not approve of that lifestyle. And it doesn't mean that I am yelling at them and giving 10 points of how they're doing things wrong. I just continue to walk in the love of Jesus Christ, offering prayer, offering kindness, offering friendship to them. You see, God has called us to do that. And when you're at school, welcome to boot camp, because you're going to have to love people. Even when they bug you, even if they're stinky, even if they're annoying, even if they, you know, I don't know, whatever they do. But you're going to have to love them. Because God's commanded us to do that. And you know what? I didn't even add this verse, but it's a doozy. It says that we are to love those that even hate us. Even hate us. It's like, what? You know why Jesus wrote that? Because he was the perfect example. Because when they beat his back open, they ripped it open. And when they nailed him to that cross and he hung on that cross, he still loved those people, died for them so that they could spend eternity with them. You see, that is an example of love. And you and I need to learn from that. That's why Jesus would have dinner with unsaved people. He would have dinner with ungodly people. And all the religious people were like, what? What are you doing? That is disgusting. That is awful. How could you ever do that? And Jesus is like, what? It's just dinner. All right, I'm just showing them some love. So when you get your crazy bread and your dipping sauce and you sit down next to the table, that's the, you know, the scary table that's not saved, then show the love of Jesus. And if people freak out, then say, so what? Jesus did it. You see, but you got to be strong enough to handle that. You got to be strong enough inside of you. That's why we're taking you through boot camp. Can I hear a hoorah? Ooh. Number three. Just two more. You need to say yes to truth and no to lies. You need to say yes to the truth and no to the lies. Because there's a lot of options out there. Isn't there a lot of options? There's a lot of options how you can dress, how you can live, what gender you want to be, what religion you want to be. I mean, all that stuff is basically an option now. And you need to learn the truth and say yes to Jesus, yes to the truth, and no to the lies. Because if you think you can live this gray world and still stand with God, where everything's right, and I sit on cotton clouds, you know, and everything is beautiful, okay, and everybody's right, and everybody's a winner, all right, then I'm here to tell you that's not the truth. that Jesus gave definite commandments, definite ways that we are to live. And there is definite truth. In 1 John 2:20, it says this: "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." Did you know you have an anointing from the Holy One? As you are saved and born again, walking with Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and there's actually an anointing on you to know all things. It says, "I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also." He's saying you have the ability to know the truth because I've given you that anointing. In 1 John 4, verse number 1, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. But this you know, the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist." You never thought I'd talk about Antichrist on a Wednesday night right here or at boot camp, but I am, "which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children." Say, "I am of God." And have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. It's amazing how they can say things about how God isn't real and there's no such thing as an intelligent designer, and you know, that there's just no way that there is a God. And it makes sense to them. There's just no way that they could ever believe that you believe in a God. It just because they're part of the world. They've said no to Jesus. They've said yes to the world. So it all makes sense. But you, who are born of God, who are of God, says you understand it. Says we are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There is definitely right and wrong, yes and no, black and white. There is right and wrong. And maybe nobody's told you that before, because I know they're all trying. It doesn't mean that I change the way I love somebody who maybe doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I still love them, but I don't agree with what they're saying, and that's okay. It's okay to not agree with that. You know the truth. You see, what the world and the enemy and Satan wants to do is take this truth, which is a double-edged sword, it says in the Bible, which is our weapon against Satan himself, and he would love to make this book, this word of God, be like nothing. Be like a toothpick instead of the sword that it is. And the way that he'll do that is to get you to doubt God himself. He'll get you to doubt the word in here. He'll get you to doubt that Jesus is really God. He'll get you to doubt that, well, maybe, you know, I watched a History Channel thing and they said that, I don't know if Jesus Christ really rose from the dead. You see, you guys, if you say yes to Satan and you let that doubt come and plant seeds in your heart, be careful of what's going to grow inside of you. Because sooner or later, if you let that grow inside of you, you're going to say no to Jesus. It is a choice. I want to ask you guys some questions. Do not answer them out loud. Do you believe in the devil? Answer inside. Do you believe in the devil? Do you honestly believe in the devil? Do you believe in heaven and hell? Do you believe that those are two real places? Do you believe in one God? One true God, not many gods, not whoever's right. Whoever wants to be right can be right. Do you believe that Jesus was sinless, that he had no sin? Do you believe that his time here on earth, that he did not commit one sin? Do you believe that? Do you believe that the Bible is the word of God, literally God using man, speaking to man, and them writing it out, and now it's preserved thousands of years? Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus is coming back one day? I mean, there's so many questions and so many beliefs. And I want you to know that every one of those questions that I asked you, yes, it's true. Yes, Jesus was sinless. Yes, this is the word of God that has been preserved, that God used man to write down his word. Yes, there is a heaven. Yes, there is a hell. I mean, all these are actually yes. And I know, because I've had doubt before, where I was tempted to say, is this true? Is this true? You read a book, you watch a report, you watch a movie, you have an intense conversation, okay? I mean, you have a text fight with some atheist. I don't know what has gone on in your life, but there will be that temptation to say, is there really truth? Or is God real or is he isn't real? And I'm telling you, he is. Number four, last one, is you need to say yes to the best and no to just okay. Because God, I'm telling you, you live your life with God, and that is the best life. That is the good life. That is the life that's worth living. That is a life where you find your purpose. I don't know how people live without God. I don't know if you've ever thought about it. But maybe you've seen your friends and you say, I mean, how do they live without faith? How do they live without a chance to pray every day? How do they live without a chance to worship God? How do they live without going to church and being built up by other Christians? And you and I get the chance to have the best life. John 3, verse number 8. This is the last verse. He says, he who sins is of the devil, and the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God has manifested, which means he's come here to earth. He is alive. Says that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Now, some of you just said, oh, man, Pastor Michelle, I just sinned like 2 minutes ago. Like, you don't even know what I was thinking, Pastor Michelle. Okay, and you cussed somebody out today. Maybe you've stolen something today. Maybe you did smoke out today. I don't know. Maybe you've made mistakes. And maybe you don't know how to quit some sort of addictions. Maybe there's just things in your life. And I'm telling you right now that when you start to live the best life, which is the life with Jesus Christ, that your life will no longer be, those struggles that seem so huge are going to dwindle down because you're walking with Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, you guys, that there were issues and hang-ups in my life. Just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean that I didn't experience things. Didn't mean that I didn't open up doors to stupid things. I was raised in a good family. But I still opened up doors to dumb stuff that could have led to massive addiction. But I said no to that, and I went with Jesus Christ because I wanted to choose the best life. And you see, when you're walking with God and you're saying yes to Jesus, then those huge sins start to dwindle down. They start not to be so appetizing. If you're addicted to alcohol in this place, then you ought to start praying that Jack Daniels makes you sick and vomit and it tastes disgusting to you. You ought to start praying like that. If you're addicted to ecstasy, then you better pray for a bad trip so it scares the bejesus out of you so you stop taking that stuff. Do you understand what I'm saying? Start saying no. And start saying yes to Jesus Christ, and those sins will start to dwindle down. You have to see yourself as a child of God now. Maybe the decisions that you've been making aren't the best decisions. But as you walk closer with Jesus, you'll start to realize and you'll start to get to a point where you say, I can't believe I was like that. I can't believe I would drink that. I can't believe I would be with somebody like that. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. I can't believe. Cannot believe I dated that person. I've had some regrets. Okay, but God gives you a man like Richard Dean being a wave of junior. Woo! Okay, no. But but God has somebody for you. I got Pastor Mom again. Sorry. Okay, but seriously, you need to choose God. Because maybe you're tempted with, is this the best life? It absolutely is. Absolutely. Say yes to Jesus this whole school year. And watch God use you. How about not squeaking by barely saved this year? How about being on fire for God? How about witnessing to people and bringing people to church? How about doing something big in your school, which we want to help you with?
How about having the joy of the Lord inside of you? How about getting so happy that, and so your joy is just restored to you that you don't have to see that therapist anymore? How about doing so well on tests that you actually get to graduate on time? Right? I mean, this is stuff that you can do now by choosing Jesus and saying no to the devil. How about us being able to control ourselves? Because, you know, I'm tired of people teaching this is how not to get raped. You know, carry a can of mace. Make sure you dial 911. Make sure, you know, all this stuff. How about this? How about people start controlling themselves and they don't rape other people? Do you know what I'm saying? I'm serious. When someone says no, you stop. I'm sorry, I just have been feeling like I need to say that. You don't touch someone, kiss someone, go after someone if they don't want you to. You stop. It's wrong. If they say no, you leave it at that. Because it's not right. And it's the same thing. You say no to the devil, and you say yes to Jesus. When you resist the devil, he has got to flee. That's what the Word of God said. It is truth. It's not a lie. So you say no to the devil, even if you have to say no to him 1,000 times that same day, you still say no. You still say no. You still say no, and he will flee. He cannot come after you. You are God's beloved, God's anointing, God's child. Remember that. So if you guys got something out of that, then say yes. All right, praise God.